Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much. Amen. So actually today we have a lot of our team leaders from our tech and worship that are out up in Georgia. In fact, I guess they're probably about ready to come home today. They'll be home late tonight. If you give me my screens, they sent me a couple pictures yesterday. But I first wanted to show you, you know, it was July the 4th. Every July 4th, we do a praise in the park out by the riverside where all the fireworks go up. Some of you were there this time. In the last couple years, we've been having to kind of do it just on our own because the city is no longer allowing us to rent the space. And so we have to be a little careful in how we do it. But these are some pictures. You see John Skorsky there and my son with the guitars. And you see Jesse up there. And these are some pictures of a July the 4th. We were able to pray for hundreds of people. And I think on this particular one, we had 38 salvations out there. But a lot of people just drawn by the music. And there's Randy on the keyboard, my son, Stephen, on the guitar, and in that outdoor pavilion. And I'm just declaring that there's going to be more and more opportunities in these days where we can penetrate into the world's arena. We're planning right now a water baptism out at the beach. And, you know, some of you need to get water baptized, but what we've discovered is when we send our go-out teams out on the beach, and we take our guitars and our congos and djembes and our flags and our shofars out on the beach, man, that kind of strange attracts a crowd. You know, if you want strange, come to our church, you know, and you'll see strange, but it attracts a crowd. Then they have somebody approaching them, offering prayer. We end up baptizing people that get saved at that moment on the beach, and then they get out right away and get baptized. So we're going to have a dinner out there, and it'll be an evening celebration, but we'll give you that date shortly. Just showing you 4th of July, praise in the park, and you'll recognize some of those pictures. There's Joy, who's up on the platform, and Sharon Parks there, and Michelle, who's out with the team right now up in Cloudland. We played games, and I like tug of war. There I am in the front, giving it my best, right? But we had a great time out there. And this is on, we got a big flag we hang up. Now, this was yesterday, our group. There's actually, is there 30 of them up there?
Yeah.
And you see that hippie in the middle there. That's my son, Stephen, with the hat on. And that hippie next to him is Pastor John Skorsky. These guys are just hippies for Jesus, you know, amen. And they're all out there playing in the park, you know. This isn't just vacation. They're out there worshiping God and forging their friendships together. So today, you know, I want to declare that you and I, if you're saved, how many are saved out here today? Wave at me if you're proud of it. And you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, there's some people out there. Whoops. Got your attention. I'll do whatever I can to keep you awake. I've been known to do backflips, too. I haven't done that in a while, though, so don't egg me on. My family's saying no. Act your age, right? A senior citizen now. I want to declare today that we have a mission.
Yes.
Should we choose to accept it?
Yes.
It's a blessing mission. We are people of blessing. Now, we've been known to say, God bless you. You know, we start taking it too lightly. No, we have an authority, an unction by the Holy Spirit to invoke the name of God over people. And I tell you, demons scatter when they see you coming forward with that kind of authority, who you know who you are and you know you have this mission, this assignment from God. And I want to help you know how to do it, because in the hour in which we live in, and by the way, this is a post-pandemic message to the church, the new normal for the church, you are a person of blessing with the power, the authority, and you've even been commissioned by your Heavenly Father to give a blessing that literally neutralizes the curse. You know, the world's under a curse. But we are the people of blessing. Now, back, this goes all the way back to Genesis 12, 2, where God blessed Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. So I want to declare that we are blessed to bless, to bless others. It's not about getting blessings just to heap it upon yourselves, but it's to empower us to bless others. And I tell you what, you have the authority to change the atmosphere with the blessing. You know, this week I got a word from God. Well, I got a word from God during our youth camp. I was sitting right there. I was in my spot, and all these young preachers were exhorting the youth and saying, you know, you're coming up to the altar, you're getting saved, you're getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're getting delivered, we're casting out devils, that's all good. But when you leave this place, you're going to have to deal with the flesh. You can cast out a devil, you can't cast out the flesh. What you need is discipline. And start teaching them holiness and discipline and how you become a product of your daily decisions. And I'm sitting there and I heard my Heavenly Father say, son, I said, yes, sir. He says, you need to get back in the gym. I said, you mean like workout? Like buffet my body instead of buffet my body? He said, yes, you need to get back in the gym. And I've been thinking about it for about 10 years. You know, so while I was inspired right away, the next day I ran to the gym and they descended upon me and tried to upsell me, you know, on the big package that I could get into for just a penny down. You know, I said, well, I'll think about it. I said, but I'm in a youth camp this week. I'm going to come back Monday and I'll get started. Oh, no, you got to make the decision now, now, now. You know how it goes. I said, sorry. I said, it's not about the money. I said, it's about, I got to sleep on it. I don't make decisions, the big decisions like this. You know, I'm kidding with you. Big decision, you know, to work out. And so anyway, I went home, and as I was thinking about it, God inspired me to go online, and I went online, and I got to join online for just a penny. So I used my credit card, and I charged a penny. Can you do that? I did. It's crazy, isn't it? Anyway, I enrolled for a penny. And then $9.99 a month. Here I'm promoting the gym, closest one to us down the road here. And I walked in Monday, and I said, I'm coming to get my pass. They said, I enrolled online. I enrolled the basic package for a penny. And your basic package. They said, well, you can't get the basic package for a penny. I said, well, I did. Well, you can't. It doesn't exist. I said, well, it exists online. And they said, what? They said, we don't have any record of it. I said, well, I do. Took out my phone and showed them the record. They said, how'd you do that? I said, well, God told me to enroll. And then he showed me, you know, how to be a good steward. You know, enroll for a penny. It's a penny for the first month and then $9.99. If you need to enroll, I'll show you how. Okay. He said, how did you do that? And so I got enrolled. So I just thought that was fun. But why did I tell you that? Oh, I know. Because I'm working out. And the other day, and by the way, Gary, I did it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thank you. I'm sore. Hurts so good, right? But anyway, I bump into somebody from that used to attend this church years ago. And I thought I recognized him. He came up, started talking to me, and kind of a stern look on his face. And he came up just to tell me that he was no longer a believer. That he didn't believe anymore. That that he had done the research. He had studied at a higher level than even theologians, and he knew now for a fact, with his own research, instead of just believing his pastor or believing his parents, that he believed that Jesus' blood does not save. There is no heaven and hell. And there's a lot of other people that believe that way too these days. And some of them used to be pastors, and now he's joined the ranks, and he knows. Of course, I'm trying to work out, but he felt it necessary to, you know, just make sure I knew that I was leading all you guys astray by telling you that, you know, you could escape hell and come to heaven and all that and all that. So I said, well, God bless you. I'm in the ministry of blessing. God bless you. You still believe in God, right? Well, some kind of a higher power, yeah. I said, by the way, how's it working for you? I said, how does that faith work for you? You know, what I've found, folks, is that everybody needs faith. You know, even people that unfortunately are misled into Islam or Buddhism or something else. You know, by the way, I said, I believe in the Bible. He doesn't believe in the Bible anymore. It's got reasons why the Bible's not a factual book as well, and all that intellect. You know why I believe? Is because I've had an experience with a living God. I'm not believing it just because of religion. I don't buy a lot of what religion has to offer. But when you have an experience with God, relational experience, and if you've been sovereignly healed and doctors can't understand it, that'll make a believer out of you. So I just blessed people. So I just blessed them. I'm not going to argue with them. You know, God's able to give all the arguments. God can bring you to repentance. You don't need to argue with somebody who doesn't believe. I believe I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I want you to get a vision for that too. I'm not trying to talk anybody into salvation. Just keep blessing them. God bless you. Well, is that? God bless you. Well, what do you think about? God bless you. I'm going to walk in the blessing. Or if they say something about you, well, you, God bless you. Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. So I want you to get a vision for this. God told Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So when you drive in the entrance of Christian Retreat, you're going to see the word blessings in big letters on both sides of the entrance. In steel. It's going to last forever, right? Because we believe not that we should just receive blessings to heap them on ourselves, but because God has made us a blessing. And I've given out to many of you and our partners a little lapel pin, which I wear just about every time I put on a coat, that's got the word blessings on it. And it's got the symbol of the Holy Spirit, this little dove. It looks like that. I ordered a whole bunch more of them so I can give them out to you. Because many times just wearing this, you know, people don't wear these a whole lot anymore, lapel pins. But somebody looks at it and they say, what is that? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. That word is blessings. Because that's what God has called me to be on this earth. He's blessed me so that I can bless others. So I want to just give you a little fundamental lesson here on what the blessing is and how to impart it. Because we are people of blessing. Salvation brought the blessing. Sin brought the curse. Remember that? But salvation brought the blessing. Blessings come from God and produce good. Curses come from the devil and produce evil. And both blessings and curses, they kind of both continue on through time indefinitely until they're revoked in some way. So you were born in an evil world, but you have the opportunity to neutralize that curse with the blessing of God. By the way, blessing is in your Bible 430 times. Curse is only there 160 times. God has blessing on his mind I guarantee you that. And we're called of God to be tools of blessing as we carry the kingdom of God. Now, let me look at the definition of the word. If you look at about it in the dictionary, the act or words of a person who blesses. Say, that's me. I'm a person who carries the blessing. Say it with me. I'm a person who carries the blessing and who blesses. The second part of the definition is the invoking of God's favor upon a person. So if we're carrying the blessing of God, the favor of God, because of what he's done in us, I want to declare we are too blessed to be stressed. We're too blessed to be depressed. We're walking in that blessing. And I tell you what, if I can teach you how to bless others, I can also teach you how to bless yourself here today, according to the word of God, because we have a ministry of blessing. Now, at the close of most every teaching, every service, I usually pray a prayer over you. Many of you are familiar with it, but I'd like for you to underline it in your Bible. It's in Numbers 6. We rarely turn to the book of Numbers because it's just a lot of numbers. But if you'll turn there and underline it, you'll see the prayer that I pray, and I want to break it down for you. But more importantly, I want you to know that this simple prayer is a prayer that God gave Moses to teach to the priests. He said, I want you to teach this to Aaron and to his sons, the priesthood, to pray this over the people. Because when they do, he said, it will invoke my name. I'll put my name on them when they pray this prayer. And the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord brings protection. The name of the Lord brings authority in your life. So the Lord bless thee and keep thee. That's protection. Protection from evil. In just a word, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That word is provision. And I think provision is not just financial provision, but it's the favor of God. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you his peace. The actual word is shalom. So it's more than just having a feeling of being settled, but it's all the provision that God has for you. So those three sections of that prayer, and notice it always starts out with the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters in your Bible. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. We're invoking, declaring the Lord. You say, well, that's great for you, Pastor, because you are a priest. But guess what? New Testament, folks, boom, here we go. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar bunch of people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness, out of pandemic, into his marvelous light. And so we're going to be this people of blessing. I want you to see it as our mission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news. This is good news that people don't have to live under the curse. Now we can cast out devils. We can lay hands on the sick. But the most important thing, I want you to understand this blessing that we received is an empowerment. We have power. We have power. Power. To be a witness here on this earth. So let me show you who we're to bless. Well, we start out, we're to bless the Lord. When we sing here, we're singing a lot of songs right out of Scripture. Psalms 103, verse 1, 2, and 3, one of my favorite verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who fills my life with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So I just stay 30 years old, no matter what the birthday card says. I'm just 30-something still. How many with me out there? You're declaring that too. Amen. But we bless the Lord through obedience. That's why we're teaching the youth. You know, you just can't believe that you're going to be Superman and you become Superman. I mean, we're in the Olympics right now, and I love watching the Olympics. And with the opening exercises Friday night, it's happening in Tokyo, I was looking at all these, you know, thousands of athletes, and I'm thinking, these are the best of the best in all the nations of the world.
That's right.
Wow. And you know what? They weren't born that way. They worked hard. They worked disciplined. The announcer was saying, these people, you know, they're training 6 hours a day, 5 days a week to become the best of the best in these sports. That's discipline. And God loves to see us discipline ourselves to honor Him and obey Him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, so how do we bless the Lord? We obey Him. We walk in His ways. And just don't believe that somehow, you know, we're going to get it by osmosis. You know, sleep on the Bible and think, you know, we're going to get wisdom. We're to bless our children. We're to bless our spouse. We're to bless our friends. Now, I'm going to show you how to do this. But I'm telling you, this pandemic that tried to separate us, you're going to find out that a blessing requires touch. Lay your hands on your children. Lay your hands on your spouse. Gently, lovingly. Yeah. Pray for her. Pray for him. If you can. And guess what? We're to bless our enemies. How about that? So the assignment's for everybody. I want to give you some scriptures about that. Luke 6:28. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Wow. Well, there's a blessing in it. 1 Peter 3:9 says, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, here, so that you may inherit a blessing. So you reap what you sow. You bless somebody. They get in your face and you just say, well, God bless you. Instead of picking up that debate and arguing, God bless you. Pray it's working well for you. God bless you. It just kind of neutralizes the tension in the air. Amen? And the Bible says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Lori, I told your story in the early service, and now you're here in the service. But Lori had a plumbing issue and needed to get some liquid plumber, you know, Drano. And so she said, I got to go quickly. Just go to the closest store to me. She runs over to Walgreens. Goes to the spot, you know, where it should be. And sure enough, they should have had it. But that part of the shelf was empty. They had it, but they were out of it. So she said, well, just go across the street. I'll go to CVS. Over there. She goes over there and goes to where the liquid plumber should be. And there's an empty space there. They should have had it, but they were out of it. Am I getting it right so far? I said, well, then I got to go to Publix, you know, got to go to the big store. Goes across the street to Publix. And while she's on her way to the aisle, looks down an aisle and sees six people already on their knees in an aisle. Thinks, maybe this is my assignment. Maybe this is why I couldn't buy it at Walgreens or CVS, because God had an assignment for me. Finds out somebody had an accident. Even the manager's there. They're all gathered around. In walks Lori with the hand of blessing and the heart of authority to declare God's blessing over that situation. Hallelujah. And was able to pray for them. Hallelujah. I mean, God's doing whatever He can to get you to. I was going to have you tell it, but I already told it. I got so excited. I mean, he knows what He's doing. He's just got to get us there. You know, what you won't want to do is you go complaining from Walgreens. You go to CVS. Oh, what a day this is. Got to go to Publix. Because you get to Publix, you won't even see six people on their knees. You won't have eyes for that. What's happening is you're playing into the curse. Out of the same mouth come blessings or curses. You're living in the curse instead of in the blessing. We're living in the kingdom of God. We're people of blessing. And so that's what I'm teaching today. And you're learning. And you're growing. So how are we to bless? I'm going to give you a 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one, a blessing must be spoken. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Shouldn't be that way. We're going to zip it. Oh, I wanted to say that, but I'm not going to say it. Instead, God bless you. God bless you. Boy, I could give him a piece of my mind. But no, give him a piece of my sanctified mind. God bless you. How's it working for you? I'll be praying for you. Amen? And then it says, I got to tell this, Jeanette, thinking about our son Stephen when he was young in first grade, second grade. Yeah, thank you. Give me a bottle of water. he was diagnosed by teachers. He was got a slow start in school. And they were diagnosing him as having dyslexia and learning disabilities and all that. But this lady right here, Mama, and my wife, she said, no way you're going to buy into that. She started declaring over him, Stephen, you are an A student. And sometimes he'd be bringing home a bad grade. She said, son, you are an A student. He said, no, Mom, look at this. No, you are an A student. And just started declaring that over him. You know what? He became an A student. You better be careful. You don't allow words like stupid, you know, you're so dumb, you know, even think, you don't let that come out of your mouth. Those are cursings. You say, well, it's practically true. Well, yeah, but don't you say it. Don't you say it. Because blessings are spoken in faith. In faith. For what you know is possible by God, with God's help. And so, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. I mean, they were constantly fighting. I mean, they didn't like each other and they didn't seem very good, but he blessed them by faith concerning their future. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for your children? The evidence of things not seen. You don't see it, but you hope for it. Well, start speaking it over their lives. Faith is speaking and acting like something has changed before it changes. And that's how we're speaking a blessing over people. I'm believing for the best in you. And then God uses that. A blessing requires meaningful touch. Jesus took the children up in his arms and put his hands on them and bless them. Or as Jesus tells us, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, studies show that meaningful touch lowers blood pressure. A UCLA study determined that we need 8 to 10 touches a day to maintain physical and emotional health. So this is why we need a small circle of friends that we can trust. People that we can pray with, join hands with. And I'm going to say, those of you that are married, you know, get your hands on one another. Ooh, yeah. Show some affection. You know, you need that health. Reminds me of this couple that went to this counselor, this doctor for counsel. And the doctor soon realized that the husband was the problem. And that's usually the case, ladies. You know, and he couldn't get through his thick head that he needed to just show his wife a little affection. Finally, he said, both of you stand up. The doctor went over to the woman, put his arms around her and gave her a kiss right on her face. And then he looked at the husband and said, now she needs this every day. The husband looked at the doctor and said, doctor, I don't think I can bring her here every day. Right? So that's our marriage counseling point tip for the day, okay? A blessing must be followed by action. Look at somebody next to you and say, do something. Do something with your faith. Do something with your faith. You can't just have your faith up here. You can't even just have it here. Faith sees and faith speaks, and then faith acts. And that's what God blesses. God needs to have something that we do that he can multiply. That's why we give offerings. Then he says, 30, 60, 100-fold will multiply it. If you give nothing, then a million times nothing is what? Nothing. But God says, get about the Father's business. Be a giver, not just financially, but be a giver of your time. Be a giver. And, it's amazing how fun life becomes when we start applying these principles. So here James tells us, suppose that a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, be blessed, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. I got to remind you of a story because she's not here anymore, but Dorothy Hiley. How many remember Dorothy Hiley? I was a senior in our church for many years, and then a couple years ago, she went to be closer to her kids and in a care facility. But she used to live back here in our RV park, and after a Wednesday night service, one time she went back to her RV, unlocked the door, went inside, heard something rattling around in the closet, opened the door, and it was a burglar. In the dark of her home, she's there alone, and there's a burglar there. He bursts out, and he says, I want your car and your money. Wow, what would you do? Well, you got to know Dorothy Hiley, but she said, no, son, that's Mama's car. Here, take my hand, she said. Let's go out and look at the car. She wanted to get him out of the house. She took him out of the house and started walking him down the street, holding his hand, the burglar, the would-be burglar. She said, now tell me about your mother. And she was saying that this was Mama's car. And she walked him down to the first duplex down here. It happened to be to Ron McGowan's, and knocked on his door. He said, I want you to meet somebody. And Ron came to the door, and she told him the story. He said, well, do you want me to call the police and have him arrested? She looked at the boy. She said, no, I just want you to get on your knees and be arrested by the Holy Spirit. Give your life to Jesus, which he did. And then they both drove him home to his mother. You say, well, that would that work for me? You are a person of blessing. You never know what you're going to do till it's right in front of you. And then that blessing is an authority that invokes the name of the Lord like a strong tower. And anything can happen, and it'll give you a testimony. This Wednesday, we're going to give some more testimonies. And I think Greg's going to be there, because after this early service, he came up. You know, Greg, who had his blind eye open in our services here, he's a Catholic. He didn't know God did that. And boom, God opened a blind eye, and he's been coming to church ever since. Well, he had an experience this week kind of like yours, Lori. And he told me about it, and it was just amazing. How God took him off the street into this store to meet somebody that he ended up employing and helping in a great way, a family, a whole entire family from Puerto Rico. Okay, I'm going to close on this, but I want to give you five ways to bless others with an acronym. You know I like acronyms. If you are praying for somebody and you want to know what to pray about, here's five things that concern people. One is their body, their health, their strength, protection. Well, another is their job, labor. L is for labor. Their job, their business, their income. You can pray for their emotional condition, love, joy, peace, hope. Their social elements, their home, their family, their marriage, friends, that sort of thing. Having problems with people. And then, of course, spiritual is most important. Their salvation, faith, in God, that sort of thing. I want us to stand together today, and I want you to take somebody's hand next to you, and we're just going to practice blessing right here in the sanctuary. I want you to bless that person next to you. It might be your spouse, but take somebody's hand. That's allowed now. We've got hand sanitizer everywhere around the building here that you can avail yourself of after service here. But take somebody's hand and look up at this list here. And you just decide without even asking them what their needs are. I'm going to ask you, Father, to just inspire us as to how to pray for that person next to us. And Father, give us, awaken your spirit and your power within us to be people of blessing. Lord, if we can't do it here, we can't do it out there. And we're going to do it here in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray for that person. Pray for that person. Pray for their health, their strength. Pray that their strength will be renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Pray for their home, their family, their friends. Father, surround each person with a loving, caring support group of friends of faith. I pray, Lord, let nobody feel alone or isolated in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for deliverance, for healing. Father, set your people free in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your church rise up to be noticed. In this dark world, let us rise up to be that light and that life, be the people of blessing, to get our hands on people, to speak words of faith to people, to not get caught up in the negative, but Lord, to walk in the power and the authority of the Lord our God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm praying this for the whole church. You're going to link us up, oh God, link us up to be a people of blessing, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. A blessing must be spoken, remember that. Open your mouth and I will fill it, God says. We speak by faith. We're going to look beyond the immediate problem and speak life into those around us in Jesus' name. Grab somebody's hand, pray over them with holding their hand, and then do what you can do. Do what you know to do to help them, be it ever so small. Do something to help them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We sing a song that always stands out to me when we get to the part that says, here now, here now. I want God to do here now, wherever I go. I want God to be awake in my heart to show me the opportunities. I want Him to be that way in your life. We sing a lot about the glory of God. You know, the glory of God's not some spooky picture of His presence. The glory of God is that presence of God that's in you. It's the power of God. And when it manifests, when it causes you to step out and do something for God, the manifest presence of God, that's what makes God work in your life. And it'll heal what ails you. So I call that holy ground. When you have the opportunity to take somebody by the hand and pray for them, it's like holy ground. Remember when God showed up to Moses in the burning bush? Then He said, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Listen, anytime that the power of God in you is manifesting to pray for somebody else, to touch and bless somebody else, you're creating holy ground. So this song says, let every burning heart be holy ground. Lord, show us your glory. And I'm saying, Lord, not show us your glory so we can just look at it, but show us your glory in the midst of our everyday lives, Lord, to make a difference in our families, with our children, with our spouse, Lord, at our place of business, at our school, wherever it might be. Lord, show us your glory. Let's close with this song. Can you